I wanted to thank all of you for your prayers for my son. My son had surgery, his tonsils and adenoids removed this week, and that's been fun. So he's been a trooper. He's been fine. Comes in waves where his pain comes, and then he's a young boy playing, and then all of a sudden he's down. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your cards. He's run to the mailbox a couple times already, waiting to see if he gets anything in the mail. So those of you that have sent cards, it has meant the world to him throughout this. Last night, he kind of got a little emotional with me. He says, "Dad, I'm sorry." And I didn't know what he was talking about. He's, "Dad, I'm sorry." I said, "What? Why are you sorry?" He says, "I won't be there tomorrow at church." And I said, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay." And he kind of got like a little glisten in his eye. And he says, "I really want to be there." That's the heart I pray that we all have coming to his church. That was a wonderful moment as a father to see that. My son and daughter have always loved the church. And so thank you guys for making it special. All right. So it has already been a wonderful day today. We've had a baptism. We're going to jump into our Great Commission Missions Offering Sunday. If you are able, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Today's scripture comes from Jonah 3, 1 through 5, and Acts 1, 8. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Church, this is the word of the Lord. You can see, have a seat. Let's pray. Holy Father, we need you. Lord, we need you every morning. But Father, as I think about all the things that are happening in our world and all the things that are happening in our lives, Lord, I think about how much we need you. We need something solid in our world. We need something solid in our lives and in our families. And Father, I know of no other place to turn than to you. Father, as we come here this morning, I pray that all of us are reminded that this just isn't just a church service, Father. But this is a time for us to remind ourselves that you are the source of everything solid in our life. Everything else will shift. Everything else will fade. Everything else will crumble and break and fall apart. But Lord, you will never break and fall apart. You are the sure foundation. You are what the Bible says, the sure and steadfast anchor of our souls. So, Father, may we this morning realize who you are. As we hear these words from Scripture, may we realize that you are the God that is the sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. Be with us this morning, Father. Calm my heart. Open all of our hearts to your word. And it's in your Son's precious and beautiful and holy name that I pray. Amen. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to lay out a mission strategy for the church. And so what I'm going to give to you this morning is not revolutionary. It is not something complex. It's very simple. It's straight from the Bible. And I believe that it's effective because it came straight from Jesus himself. And I think a lot of us who have been in church our whole lives, we look at missions and we kind of just often maybe take it for granted. And it's something that we all know is very important for us. We all know that we should support missions. And the Christian answer inside of church is, "Oh, yes, of course, we do missions. We do. That's how we answer it. But when somebody asks us, how does your church do missions? Not many of us, and even this church and other churches, it's difficult sometimes for us to be able to lay out a plan exactly of how we do missions as a church. And so guys, as a church, every church, not just this church, every church needs to be able to say, here's how we do missions. Here is our strategy. Here's what our goal is. So this morning is about this. So it's missions is not only about giving to missions somewhere else, right? It's about doing missions. And a church really isn't a church unless it is doing missions. A guy named Oswald Smith, he said, missions is the mission of the church. I'm going to have a few things that I'm going to ask you to repeat this morning, and that's one of them. Repeat it with me. Missions is the mission of the church. That is true. Amen? That's what the church is about. For far too long, though, missions is something that we see as something someone else does in a foreign land, and maybe even an inner city kind of setting, somewhere else, done by someone else. But for this church to be effective, we need to see ourselves as missionaries. We need to see ourselves as missionaries right here. So please hear me this morning. Missions is not just something that we as a church are to support. For the survival of this, something that we are all actively engaged in. In our study of Jonah, we've seen the very heart of God. We've seen the heart of God for godless pagans that live violent and vicious lives, and God calls them to repentance, even these big sinners to repentance. And we saw last week the Ninevites, they turned from their wicked ways and they trusted the Lord, and God's grace was extended to these bad sinners. And you probably need to hear this again this morning. I know you know it, but it's a great reminder. God's grace extends to the worst of sinners that are out there. It extended even to me and even to you. God is a gracious God. And I want you to think this morning of Jonah's world. Think of Jonah's world. Jonah was from this city called Gath Hepher. And if you draw a 500-mile circle around this city, Gath Hepher, God could have sent Jonah to a number of cities, countless cities. But he chose to send Jonah to Nineveh. He could have sent him anywhere. But in God's providence, he sent him to Nineveh. There was no city that was larger than Nineveh at this time. There was no city more powerful, and there was certainly no city that Jonah hated more than Nineveh. So why did God choose, hey, you're going to Nineveh. This is where I'm sending you. Ultimately, inside of the Bible, we're not really given the answer to that question. But we do have some other places that help us understand exactly what's going on here. And so in Psalms 115, verse 3, it says, our God is in the heaven, and he does all that he pleases. The Bible tells us that our God does everything that he pleases. So we're told that it pleased God for him to send Jonah to the Ninevites so that they could have mercy. God wanted to spare Nineveh so much that he sent Nineveh, this pagan city, a messenger, a reluctant messenger, but his messenger. And because of the good pleasure of God, his power, God's power, was poured out on the ancient city, and Nineveh was spared. You know, when I think about why Nineveh, when I think about the question of why did God send Jonah to Nineveh, I also think about me. Like, why did God send anyone to me? Why did I hear this message? Why any of us? Why did God extend his grace to this church? Why is there a church right here? Church, it's because it pleases God to save repentant people. It pleases God and gives him joy that his message is spread throughout the world. And I want you this morning, I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 1:21. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he says this, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God. Listen to what Paul's saying to the Corinthian people here. He says, it pleased God through the folly of what we preached to save those who believe. He's saying it pleased God to save you who believed message. And there's a great backstory to this verse right here that I want to tell you about this morning. This verse that I just read to you is found in the introduction of 1 Corinthians. So it's 1 Corinthians 1. And he says up front, Paul says up front to these Corinthian believers, he says, it pleased God to save you. Because of God's good pleasure, he sent me to you so that you could hear this message and be saved. So why is it that Paul starts off his message to the Corinthian believers with this? Why does he tell them that it was God's pleasure to save them? And I think the answer is actually found in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, we see Paul arriving at Corinth, and he's on his second missionary journey, and he arrives, and he goes into the synagogue to preach, as was his custom every time he came into a city. And he's preaching in the synagogue, and Paul didn't have it easy in Corinth. It tells us, this chapter tells us, he had a really, really hard time as soon as he got into Corinth. It says that he was reviled and he was abused. And so bad enough in verse 16, the Bible tells us that Paul shook off his garments and said to them, your blood be on your hands. I'm innocent of your blood. From now on, I'm going to go on to the Gentiles. He says, I'm not dealing with this anymore. It was as if Paul was saying, forget y'all. I mean, I've tried to bring the gospel to y'all and you don't want it. So I'm gone. I'm shaking the dust off my clothes and I'm out of here. Paul was frustrated. In this portion of the Bible, it reads as though Paul wanted to leave the Corinthian church. He shook the dust off of his clothes as if I'm done here. But church, I want you to hear this. This happened in chapter 18. Just after Paul says this, the night that Paul was laying down right after this, he has a dream or a vision, and Jesus comes to him, and Jesus says to him, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. Listen to this. Listen to what he says right here. This is fantastic. He says, for I have many in this city who are my people. I want you to think about God saying that. I want you to think about God saying that to Paul. He's ready to walk away from him, and he says, no. Don't walk away from them, because I have many people in this city. Paul's about ready to leave. He's about ready to throw in the towel on these people. And God says, to hear this message inside of this. Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians, he says, your salvation was God's pleasure. It was God's pleasure to bring you salvation. He said, you were saved because of God's good pleasure, not because of me to leave you. I shook the dust off of my clothes. I wanted to be gone. But God's good pleasure saved you. And I want you to hear this. God had people in Nineveh for Jonah. God had people in Corinth for Paul and church. God has people in Waleska for us. Amen? That's how this works. I want you to let the last words of Christ ring in your ears this morning. For I have many in this city who are my people. Do you believe that about Waleska this morning? Do you believe that God has many people in Waleska? I do. I hope that you believe that. Do you believe that God has many people around this church that need to hear about Jesus Christ and surrender to him and have a church home and a church family? I believe he does. Almost 90 years ago, a group of men heard from the Lord, and they felt the need to have a gospel-proclaiming Bible church right here in Waleska. And guess what? That seed that was planted almost 90 years ago has got us right here in this church. It has blossomed and bloomed into this place right here. God worked in Nineveh, and God worked in Corinth, and God worked in Waleska 90 years ago, and he desires. I told you I had this morning. Here's another one. I want you to repeat this with me. My attendance here is not an accident. My attendance here is not an accident. I want to prove this to you from Acts 17, verse 26. It says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Guys, this verse tells me and you that we are not here in this church because we just thought, hey, this would be a great place to go. We're not here just because, you know, it's convenient. You and I are here because God determined our allotted times and places that you and I would live. You being in this church is not a coincidence. It is not an accident. Chance did not bring you to this church. It was God himself. According to Acts 17, it was God himself. And let me share with all of you what that means. What that means is, church, this is your Nineveh. What that means is that this is your Corinth. What that means is, well, Waleska is your mission. This is how our God works. Our God has designed his world to work this way, and he has a plan for the entire planet. And you and I have a part to play in missions right here in Waleska. Some have called this story of Jonah the Great Commission of the Old Testament. Some people have said that Jonah is the Great Commission of the Old Testament. I actually think that's a pretty good way of saying this. I think that's a really good way of saying what God was doing in the Old Testament with Jonah. He was commissioning Jonah. He says, you need to get up and go. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So what does it look like when we get up and go? What does it look like for us to do missions here? Well, church, it looks a lot like what has already happened this morning with Lexi. It looks a lot like what we have seen in the baptismal waters this morning. When a church does missions, two things are guaranteed to increase. One, the number of baptisms, and two, the number of disciples. Those things will happen when missions happens. Because the Great Commission, it says, there's a bookends of the Great Commission. He says that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, and lo, I will be with you until the ends of the earth. There are bookends to the Great Commission that are about God's power. His power is over everything, and it will never leave us. So when we do go, we don't go by ourselves. We go in his power and in his authority. That's what the Great Commission is about. The number of disciples will increase and the number of baptisms will increase. You guys ever watch Shark Tank? Shark Tank is one of my favorite shows. For those of you that don't know what Shark Tank is, it's about business guys or entrepreneurs or inventors that go and stand before a bunch of very rich, very need some help. And I love Mark, because a lot of times he just kind of cuts through a lot of stuff real fast. And he sometimes gets frustrated with the people that come on the show. And he gets frustrated with people that have a ton of inventory. They have a ton of inventory in their shop, but they don't sell it. And he has this thing that he says all the time. He says, sales cures everything. Sales cures everything. And I know that this is just a business model of Mark Cuban, but every time I hear him say this, I think about the church, because I think he has a really good principle for the church here. Missions inside of the church cures all. Because think about this. If missions is the mission of the church, then missions is our priority. This is not an area that we can fail in and still be successful. Listen to this quote by Mark Cuban. Now, he's going to talk in a business mind. I'm going to change it and alter it just a hair for church. Listen to what he says. There has never been a company in the history of companies that has ever succeeded without sales. Anybody who has ever told you, don't worry about sales, you can grow it and worry about sales later, they are lying to you. Let me switch that just for a second. I want you to listen to this. There has never been a church in the history of churches that has ever succeeded without doing missions. Anybody who has ever told you, don't worry about missions, you can grow it and worry about evangelism later, they are lying to you. I think there's a principle here that even God himself knows, is that we have to be. So Mark Cuban didn't know he was giving us a principle inside of the church that we could use. It's there. I think this is really good advice. And guys, we will not succeed if we don't make missions a priority here. At the beginning of this message, I told you that I wanted to present to you a mission strategy for the church. And so what I'm going to present to you in the next few minutes is straight from Scripture. And so isn't it true? Isn't it great that like you and I don't have to like be too creative? We can just look inside of the Bible and there's things there that just make sense. And if we implement them, there's blessings to this. And this is one of those places that we just implement what the Bible has for us. There's tremendous blessings. God has given us a blueprint for everything that he wants us to do. And in Acts 1:8, we have recorded the very last thing Jesus said to the church before he ascended into heaven. And this was Jesus' plan for the early church then, and this is Jesus' plan for his church now. And we have a slide that I want to show you. In Acts 1:8, you can see it up there at the top. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This morning, I want you to see the concentric circles of a church's influence. Is saying this, he wasn't just making good conversation. He wasn't just saying, hey, you know, this is a great way to do this. He's giving his plan to his church. He's laying out a blueprint for the early church to follow. So I want you to look at this slide. The very center, you have Jerusalem. The next ring, Judea. The next ring, Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. Look at this next slide that we've got. So this is our strategy. Waleska is our Jerusalem. Georgia and our region is Judea. Is our Samaria. And then you have the ends of the earth. Then the world. Look at this next slide, slide number 3. You have our strategy again. So our city, Waleska, the region, national, global. This is how God wants to work. This is the design for his church. And so at the center, inside of the bullseye, you have Waleska, then Georgia, then America, and then the rest of the world. But I want you to see this morning, because this is important, I want you to see this morning what is at the center. At the center of this bullseye is Waleska. Jesus says to the early church, begin working exactly where you are planted. Begin working right there in the center, right in Jerusalem. The bullseye, the aim on this plan, the design of this whole thing is that we work here and work outwardly. And I want you to see that this morning. Jesus is saying that the only way we can be effective in these outer rings is for us first to have an impact here at the center. And this lesson was something that I learned at an early age. I don't know what it is about a young boy that is out exploring the world, but if you're a man in here, I think almost every man in here can identify with this. But when you are around a lake or like a still pond and the water is just really calm, what's the first thing that you want to do? You want to throw something in it, right? You want to throw a rock or something and just disturb the water. You want to see that splash. And so when I was younger, this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to throw the rock in there. And I love throwing a rock and just watching the ripples kind of go out to the shoreline. I wanted to make sure that the ripples would actually reach all the way to where I was standing. And they usually did. But you know how I would make sure that the ripples would make it all the way back to the shoreline? You know how we as young boys make sure that the ripples get all the way back? We find the biggest rock that our little arms and our little body can muster, and we pick it up and we do our best to throw that big rock out there as far as we can. And because we know that the bigger the impact at the center, the greater the chance that the ripples will go the furthest. Amen? Does that make sense? That's exactly what God, what Jesus is saying right here in Acts 1:8. We have to make sure that the impact here is greatest so that the ripple effects can be felt throughout. For the ripples to travel far, I had to make sure that the rock that I picked up was big enough. Our ripples, church, will never make it to the nations if we can't make a huge impact here. Our ripples will never make it to the nations if we cannot make an impact here. And I think that this is something that is recognized by many of us in our church. Not too long ago, on a Wednesday night, we did a one-word survey. And there was about 40 people that took the survey. And one of the questions in the survey was, would you like to see Waleska spend more effort and time on foreign missions or on local missions? And overwhelmingly, the answer was local missions. I think people recognize that we need to spend time on local ministry right here. And I hope by now many of you have seen the proposed budget that's for next year. And inside of the proposed budget, you'll see some adjustments that were made to our budget so that we can make sure that everyone knows where our priorities lie. Over 10% of our budget is given directly to missions. And the lion's share of our budget for this next year is geared directly to local missions. And guys, personally, I think this is great. I think this strategy allows us to really fulfill Acts 1:8, but it also allows us to have the funds and the readiness to do what is needed right here in our community. But guys, I also want to challenge you to see our entire budget, the entire thing, as missions. The entire budget is missions. I want you to think about this. Think about this example. If we had gotten a letter or you found somebody that was a missionary out in India and they wrote us a letter and said, hey, we have something that needs to be repaired on our building and we just don't have the funds. And we cut them a check and we send them a check out there for them to repair something on their church. You know what we would do? We would chalk that up to missions. We would say that's missions, us sending money for someone to fix a church or fix a building in India. Guys, why should it be any different for us? When you and I fix or update or do something in the church, we should see it as missions right here. And so putting money into our church here is missions. It is missions right here in Waleska. And so updating and repairing our building here is missions. And we shouldn't see it any other way. Do we just want to support missions other places where someone else does it? Or do we want to be engaged in missions right here? Remember, the bigger the impact is at the center, the greater the ripples are as they go out into the world. And it's easy for us to forget, but guys, this church right now, it is a missions post for Waleska. This church is a missions organization. And you as its member, you're a member of a missions organization right here in Waleska. That's what we are. We are members of a missions organization right here. Everything that we do is missions. Everything that we engage in should be about evangelism and missions. Everything we do here speaks to the message that we proclaim. A couple weeks ago, I told you guys that I was on staff in Yellowstone National Park, and I was out there for a ministry. I did preaching in Yellowstone on Wednesdays and Sundays, but during the week, I worked in hospitality. I cleaned bedrooms and scrubbed toilets, and so that was a whole lot of fun during that time. But that's what I did when I was out there in Yellowstone. And when I first got out there, they trained us, and they showed us exactly how they wanted everything to be once we cleaned a room. And one of the things that they trained us to do that I just thought was really, really silly was to put that little, like, arrow, the fold in the toilet, y'all, toilet paper. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that little fold. I thought it was so silly because I know what toilet paper is used for. I don't know why it needs to be pretty on the roll, but that's what they wanted. And so they wanted that fold there. I thought it was really dumb. And so sometimes in my youthful arrogance, I would just forget to make the fold. The easiest thing in the room to do, right? I just forget to do that little fold. And one day, one of my rooms got inspected by my boss, and he came by and came and saw that I had not put the fold into the toilet paper. And I remember this conversation because he brought it up. He was super nice about it. And I just left it off. I didn't think that it was all that important. And I remember what the man said to me. And it has stuck with me until this day. He says, "Yeah, you know, I know it's just toilet paper. But you know that toilet paper sends a message about how serious we take what we do here." I thought, man. Toilet paper does. Everything that we do is a message about how important what we do here is. Everything. And so I'm not suggesting that we go out right now and make little like arrows in the toilet paper out in the bathrooms. That's not what I'm suggesting. But what I am suggesting is that we recognize that the appearance of our facilities, it sends a message about how serious we are about what it is that we do here. The Lord has given us this beautiful facility, and there are many easy things that we can do to update it, freshen it up a bit. And so this morning, I want to share with you three things that some of us have been talking about, some of the things that I would like to see done here that may really help. I think it would make a world of difference just to kind of freshen up the place. So here are three things that I'm proposing to you. One, cut the trees down by the road. So down by the road, if you've noticed, when you see the trees down by the road, it's hard to see the church from the street, and it kind of blocks the view. So cutting down some of those, it also make it easier on turning out left and right. But cutting down the trees is number one. Number two, paint and update in here in the sanctuary and in the foyer. I believe painting in here and updating in here and in the foyer would make a world of difference when someone comes in and sees this place. And three, update some of the technology that is in here in our sanctuary. One of the things that Brian and the team have talked about is putting a monitor in the back so that they're able to see the screen and see the words and not have to have the words right front. If they can look right here, they can engage with you a whole lot better than just words on a piece of paper right here in front of them. So these three things are really the three things that I'm thinking that would make a big difference in our church. And these projects will probably cost us anywhere between $15,000 to $20,000. Now, I am at work with some missions organizations in Georgia, and a prayer request that I have for you guys is pray that some of these relationships happen so that we can get some of this work done in a lot more cost-effective way. So there are some ministry opportunities out there that we can link up with. So be in prayer for that. But these three projects, I want you to see this. This is missions. This is missions right here in Waleska. Updating and repairing our church, we should see it as missions. And so today is the Great Commission Mission Offering Kickoff. And from today and in all the way into January, we're going to be collecting money for missions. And so I want to tell you this morning how we're going to do that. Look at slide number four. Slide number four. Our goal this year is $4,000. So $4,000 is the Great Commission missions offering. And so we're going to split that between Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. And those of you that you can see, Lottie Moon, she is our represents our world missions. And Annie Armstrong represents our North American missions. And so we're going to split between Annie and Lottie this year. What we're also going to do is every dollar that comes in above that $4,000 is going to go to support stuff here at this church. So all of this is missions, whether it's foreign or whether it's national or whether it is right here, every dollar of this is going to go towards missions. And some of this is going to go towards the trees. Some of this may go towards paint, and some of this may go towards some of the technology. But this will all go to updating this church, everything that is over the $4,000 mark. Now, last year, those of you that were here last year, I believe you brought in a little bit more than $11,000. It's amazing. So bringing in a little bit more than $11,000. So what we'll do is we'll have this missions offering, and at the end of this in January, we can see where we are, and we'll see what we can accomplish with what we've done. And I pray and I hope that there will be enough there to get us started on some of these projects. Amen? So it's all missions. It's all missions. Now I want to remind you of what you've seen this morning. This morning, you saw Lexi get baptized up here. And I pray that that is something that you think about all week long, is the image of someone in our baptism, our baptistry, getting baptized. What you saw this morning, I pray, is something that we see more and more and more in our church. I pray that our water bill is outrageous. That's what I pray, just because of the baptistry. And I pray also that you were able to see the shirts that we were wearing. So there were a lot of us wearing these shirts, and it just simply says, Washed, Waleska, First Baptist Church, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And on the back, it has this verse written out. And I want you to hear this verse. It says, And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Lexi, I pray that this is a verse that never leaves you. I pray that this is a verse that never, ever, ever leaves your mind, because when you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, honey, you were washed by Jesus Christ himself. And guys, there are plenty more people in Waleska that need to be washed. On that day when Jonah went into Nineveh, he washed a lot of people through the Word of God. That day when Paul stood up in front of the Corinthian people, even though he wanted to shake off his garments and walk away, God saved and washed his people. Church, do not think for a second that God doesn't have people here that in Waleska that he wants to wash. He wants to wash people here in Waleska. And he has called us to be a part of that through the spreading of the gospel, through the sharing of God's word, through taking care of our missions post right here. All of that can lift the glory of God here in Waleska. This is not just about Nineveh. This is not just about Corinth. As a matter of fact, it's not even just about Waleska. It's about God's glory across the world. How far will our ripples go? Church, Waleska is our mission. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you have called us to be at work. God, I pray that we are a church that sees the importance of the job, the task, the calling that you have put upon us. Father, I pray that we don't grow faint. I pray that we don't grow weary in the job. Lord, many of us have so many obstacles in the way for joining in on this. Father, my prayer is that we make it a priority to see the mission post right here be as beautiful as you've called it to be. Lord, I pray that you work upon our hearts. I pray that you work upon our people. Lord, I pray that you work on this missions offering. Lord, pray that you bless it. We pray that there is a great offering to this so that we can accomplish the things that you have called us to. Father, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.